The Gentiles are to glorify God for his mercy. As we offer the chalice, we say that it is for the salvation of the whole world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. St. Ignatius says that when we go to pray, I mean to meditate, what they would call mental prayer, or even the rosary, we should take a moment to set the scene, and we'll pray ever so much better. Who was there? What were they wearing? What were they talking about? The details, even down to the senses. I'm thinking this morning about the sense of smell. Today's offertory prayer, the third, suggests just that. So think, for example, of Thanksgiving memories, the turkey baking in the oven, how evocative. Or bread baking anytime, irresistible. And if you're an enophile, that's just a fancy word for a wine lover, the subtle bouquet you sniff when you poke your nose in the glass. And if you love a good barbecue, the smell of sizzling meat on the grill. Well, now that I've distracted everybody in church from any thought of the offertory, let me change the metaphor. Think of a doctor who rather strictly is prescribing a medicine which is bitter to the taste and hard to get down. Never mind you take it, because it's good for you, and since you're a Catholic, you remember to offer it up. But you remember as well, because of your morning offering, joys as well as sufferings, to offer up the turkey, the fresh loaf of bread, and that steak which is done just right. All of it is offered, everything is going up to Jesus through Mary, not only the bitter, but the sweet, the savory, and the sour, both. All of this and more will give you some idea of how to say, to pray, the third offertory prayer for the chalice. Oh, and don't forget ever when you're coming to church, your Bible history, but if you've forgotten, you can peek ahead and see the names listed after the consecration of the Mass, those patriarchs and prophets and kings of old. It's Advent with its four Sundays, standing for the symbolical four centuries during which they waited for the coming of a Messiah. And as they waited, they prayed and offered sacrifice. First, the priest, having filled the chalice, lifts it up, and he lifts this time his eyes up, and he keeps his eyes lifted up towards the crucifix. They're not cast down as they were for the host, because he's thinking up. He's thinking of the chalice going up to God for our salvation, that this offering may go up, and for a moment, for a change, he's not even thinking about how unworthy he is, which would usually make him look down. He's thinking instead of what's inside that chalice, what will be in a few minutes, how there is power in that blood. It is the precious blood of the Lamb to wash away all our sin. And so he whispers the prayer, and he starts by saying, "We, Oferimus, we offer to thee, O Lord." Who's the we here? In the first prayer it was I, but now it's the plural. Well, that's because the deacon has just stepped forward. He used to be, the deacon did, the minister of the precious blood until about 1,000 years ago. Church has a long memory. But he still claims his privilege of helping the celebrant to offer up the chalice. We offer. Who's that? Why, that's us. And we're enabled to say that because haven't we just been symbolically, the drops of water, blessed and placed into the chalice, our union with our Lord. What do we offer? The chalice. Our spiritual ancestors, and they are ours. Make no mistake about it, not theirs. Our spiritual ancestors of the Old Testament loved the metaphor of the chalice, and they thought in those terms. They thought of life as a cup, and you never knew what it would bring you, bitter or sweet, but you knew it came from God, and you had to drink it. There's no refusing. When a seminarian is separated from the crowd to belong to God, he gets his hair cut symbolically. That's called tonsure. And the bishop, as he's snipping in the form of a cross the seminarian's hair, makes him repeat the fifth verse of the 15th psalm, the Dominus Pars. I say a verse and then he repeats it after me. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my chalice. When our Lord, having consecrated the chalice at the first Mass, the Last Supper, went out to the garden to pray, and when the precious blood started to soak his garments through, what did he say? Father, if it be possible, let this chalice pass from me. As the priest offers the chalice, think about Christ's chalice, his suffering, and your own, and say with him, nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. But all is meant to be offered up, not just the pain, you see. We sometimes get that wrong, but the pleasure also. The whole of our lives go to God, they go up in sunshine and in shadow. So prayed our Lord, not only at the end, but as a baby at Bethlehem too, and all the way through. But this chalice is what? We say it's the chalice of salvation, in which will flow that divine blood which once coursed through the members of our blessed Lord, and which in eternity flow in and out of his sacred heart. That blood which has brought salvation to every soul in heaven. Now, we beseech the Lord's mercy. For what purpose? The prayer goes on to say, that it may ascend this blood with a sweet fragrance. Again, the Old Testament language of sacrifice. The Hebrews of old were all the time burning all or part of the animal victims upon their altars. Think of the scene, the smell of burning fat, the sight, thick black smoke rising up towards heaven. They thought this would be acceptable to Almighty God, and it was. If they were. And they thought of God as enjoying the fragrance of a good barbecue. And the Lord smelled the sweet savor, says Genesis, about Noah's sacrifice after the flood. In the canon, after the consecration, we will mention three names: Abel, and Abraham, and Melchizedek, those Old Testament figures whose offering prefigured the Last Supper and the First Mass, Calvary. The reality of it, though, in the temple, the blood of the animals all day long was drained away to the foot of the altar, and blood shed and collected has a stench. And the burning fat is not fragrant to smell. It must have been a messy affair, I think sometimes. Animal sacrifices, their cries, their droppings, and surely the flies. But all of this is Calvary's execution anticipated. There was nothing nice and nothing neat about the crucifixion. Meditate that sometimes when you do your beads. Then, a moment later, almost as though to clear it all out, at High Mass, we will offer incense with the odor of sweetness and an angel sending our prayers and offerings as clouds of a sweet savor whose blessings permeate the soul as the perfume of incense does the atmosphere here in church. St. Paul must have been thinking of that when he wrote to Ephesians how that Christ also loved us and delivered himself for us as an offering to God to ascend in fragrant odor. Back to the prayer. Why are we offering this chalice, the unbloody renewal of the sacrifice of Calvary? Well, for our salvation, yes, good enough, but wait for it. And for the salvation of the whole world, which means you haven't written them off. Without limit, pagans and Jews and Muslims and heretics and schismatics and them Novus Ordo people and all of those who know not Christ and all of those who betrayed him, big ticket sinners, moral monsters, worthless wretches, little folk, not worth your time. But all of those for whom he died in agony, and whom he loves infinitely. They are our Gentiles, the people on the outside. Non-Catholics and sinners not excluded from the offering of the chalice of salvation. And the Father, Genesis again, scents the sweet savor of sacrifice, which still, in spite of all that flood, not 40 days, but 50 years, which has near washed away the church, there are still to be found on mountaintops. Remember, that's the symbolism of the altar with its steps. The oblatio munda, the offering of the pure sacrifice to God. The offering of the chalice, though, is your time to pray for sinful souls. Don't miss your opportunity. You can put yourself in there. Pray that none be lost. Place them heart first into the chalice. Have a heart. Along with yourself. And pray as St. Gertrude did. She said that as the water and wine were mixed in the chalice, so may her heart, sometimes cold and sometimes lukewarm, be changed into one glowing ember, the fire of God. Now, if you're following Mass according to the Passion, now is an excellent time to meditate the agony in the garden or the scourging at the pillar. The priest at the end, having recited the prayer of offering, again makes the sign of the cross with the chalice, and sets it upon the altar. And then he covers the chalice with that little cardboard square we call the pall, and that stands for Christ being crowned with thorns. But remember the crown of all Christ's works, and ask for it at every Mass for the salvation of the whole world. The Gentiles, after all, are to glorify God for his mercy. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.